Today, we're talking about how scientists may have found life on your penis, I mean Venus. They have found a known toxic gas called phosphine in Venus's clouds, and that's typically associated with living organisms here on Earth. Hello, and welcome to Just NASA Science Podcast. Each episode, we debunk ridiculous yet common science misconceptions we find online and get just a little salty about them. I'm your favorite science teacher, Lauren.
And I'm the adored neuroscientist, Nick. Before we get started, we recently started a blog post series to break down scientific articles and help you understand them a bit better. It's called Understanding Science Articles, and I still haven't come up with a better name. Check them out on our website, justnowscience.com.
So this is pretty exciting news that there could potentially be life on Venus. I mean, we've been focusing all of our attention in the other direction on Mars for years. And now someone just happened to point a telescope the other way and was like, hang on a second, guys. I got something here.
It was actually two telescopes.
Yeah, one in Hawaii and one in Chile.
I have no idea.
I think.
But what I do know is that in the original video game Destiny, there was a destination you can go to, okay, which happened to be Venus, and there were aliens there, and you would fight them. And there's aliens on Mars in the game Destiny, and also scientists think there may be life on Europa, which is a moon of Jupiter. Yeah. And guess what is coming as a destination to Destiny 2 this November?
Let me guess. Your butthole. Europa. Obviously, they get their storyline from NASA.
Jeez. Well, I think it's the other way around. Oh, I think yeah. NASA sees where Bungie's like pulling information from. Like, man, they must know something. So that's what a different space scientist, that's what I call them. That's where they start looking. And like, holy shit, there might actually be something there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's just talk about what phosphine is first. And why this would be exciting news. Like, who cares? Phosphine, what the hell is that? So phosphine's actually a colorless, it's like stinky, toxic gas.
It smells like rotten eggs.
So it smells like our apartment after Nick eats burritos.
Wow. Oh, okay.
I'm in a mood.
It's going to be like that. Is it because I've been drinking all the White Claws in front of you?
Yes.
Oh, man.
So according to a Scientific American article, on Earth, phosphine is associated with living creatures, either as a byproduct of metabolic processes or of human technology such as industrial fumigants or methamphetamine labs. And on Jupiter and Saturn, it's actually a byproduct of really violent storms that we don't think are actually even possible yet on Venus. So either phosphine is showing up in Venus's clouds because there's some sort of life form, there's a geological or chemical process we don't know about yet that's causing phosphine, or Walter White is having one hell of a time up there.
I do want to give myself a quick correction before I continue off what Lauren said. I said that phosphine smells like rotting eggs. That's wrong. That's sulfur. Phosphine smells like decaying fish, which is even better.
Oh, lovely.
Now, I do want to read a segment from the journal article that all this information is coming from. So this is from the authors who published this groundbreaking information. Quote, "We emphasize that the detection of phosphine, pH 3, is not robust evidence for life. Only for anomalous and unexplained chemistry, there are substantial conceptual problems for the idea of life in Venus's clouds." And they give the idea that the environment is extremely dehydrating and it's also extremely acidic and all this kind of stuff. But they do go on to say that they've ruled out many different chemical routes to the production of phosphine, and later in the article, they do think that Venus's clouds have had life in them for a few decades. So this isn't anything new, it's just now this is the first evidence to support it.
Well, they also say they think that, or they came to the conclusion, I shouldn't say the conclusion because it's nothing set in stone, but they came to the idea that phosphine may be from some sort of life, essentially by canceling out other ideas, right? It was sort of like the last thing on the list. That is from life, and they're like, well, everything else kind of canceled out, so this actually may be a possibility.
Yeah, like I said, the authors do, at least my interpretation of one of the paragraphs they wrote in this article, sounds like they do believe that there may be life in the clouds of Venus and in the atmosphere of Venus, but they are trying to be professional and temperate their excitement by saying that this is not robust evidence. This is not definitive proof. So we don't need to stockpile weapons just yet.
Right. Well, one of the scientists who made some of these initial observations said that, you know, they welcome skepticism from other people in the community, not Twitter. So just saying, other scientists, because they've kind of reached the edge of their expertise. So they're inviting people like, let's check this out. Let's figure out what this is going on, because we don't have a real answer.
So I mentioned before, there's potential life on Mars, there's potential life on Venus, Europa. And back in 2015, NASA's chief scientist predicted that we would find some sign of alien life by 2025. So we're like halfway there, right? He said that in the next 10 years, and it's been five. So who knows? We might...
Real quick, though. For years, we've been putting money, time, energy all into Mars, right? So how pissed do you think Mars scientists are now versus Venus scientists?
You know, I know you're making a joke, but I'm going to shit on it. So I'm going to say not very, because if someone can prove fairly definitively that there's life on Venus, well, there's all the more reason to put more money into exploring other planets, because the possibility of life is now that much greater.
Well,
I bet you didn't see that one coming.
Oh, that was so exciting. Thank you. But it just goes to show you that, you know, okay, so Earth is the third planet from the sun. Venus is the second planet from the sun, and Mars is the fourth. So it goes Venus, Earth, Mars. Sometimes the answers to your biggest questions are like right under your nose. And it would make sense that Mars and Venus may be the ones we look at the most, because Venus, they think, used to be like Earth, with like rivers flowing and everything. They're more likely to be like us and have some form of life that may resemble something from Earth, whether it's like a bacteria or anything. It doesn't have to be humans or humanoid.
Which we'll get to, but...
Yeah. So it's just interesting that sometimes those things can be right under your nose, but also like just like right in the opposite direction.
It makes a lot of sense that we would explore Venus and Mars more heavily than, say, Jupiter or Neptune, because... how the hell are we getting there? You know how long it takes?
Right.
At least a probe or something going to Mars or Venus is, in terms of space travel, fairly short.
And the last time we had actually sent something to Venus was, I think, in 1985. The Soviets actually sent some probes over there. And then I guess, you know, they were just like, fuck it. Doesn't seem like much is coming from here. Let's check out Mars and the moon, pretty much. And that's been it, kind of up until now.
Yeah, and now the moon is just, you know, taken over by the hive.
That's a Destiny reference for all the normal people out there listening.
I know, but that one nerd fucking gets it. And I love you. Can we, I mean, I'm not going to ask the question, can we? Because it's our show and I can do whatever I want. We're going to talk about how in every pop culture reference or media, aliens are almost always... expressed or shown as humanoid, right? They have human-like characteristics. They are tall, bipedal. They have the same, you know, limb orientation. They have, you know, it's almost like exaggerated features of a human. Maybe bigger eyes, bigger heads.
Yeah.
Maybe they have like those little, like three fingers with like the little buttons on them. You know what I mean?
Yes. Almost like a gecko, grippy gecko.
Yeah, like bulbous fingertips.
Okay.
And it's like they got dimes for fingertips.
Right. Well, I think the point Nick is slowly trying to get to is that life on another planet or extraterrestrial life doesn't mean it has to look like us. And that's such a common misconception or misidea, that it could be in the form of, like I said before, like a bacteria, right? It could be a single-celled organism.
Yeah, I mean, I would venture to say that there is some type of life out there, right? I personally believe that there is. However, do I think that it's on the scale of humans or some type of alien that can reach Earth, but we can't reach them? Like, they're so sophisticated and advanced. No, I don't.
Yes, I do.
As cool as it was. Do I think that? I do. No. It's more likely that it's going to be some type of algae, bacteria, you know, some maybe amoeba type, whatever. Some, it's some
you
small.
You have to think. So if there is some sort of life in the clouds in Venus, you know, that life has evolved to the climate and environment there on Venus. So there's no reason to think it would evolve to look like us because we don't live in the same climate. You know, we look and act like the way we do as humans and all the species on Earth because we have evolved to adapt to Earth, right? So there's no reason why on another planet life would evolve to adapt to Earth or not here.
And to take it even a step further, species of animals adapt not only to living on Earth, but to living to a specific geographical location on Earth and then a specific habitat within that subcategory. You can keep drilling down.
Niche on niche on niche. Anyway.
But, yes.
So I know I mentioned before, I think this is so fascinating, though, that Venus, they think, had like flowing rivers for billions of years. Like, it was a cool place to be.
It was honestly.
It was lit.
It was the shit.
So.
But then all the hipsters got there and ruined it.
And it went to hell. But then a lot of heat trapping gases really kind of took over and made into this like hell ball, which is like pretty much the trajectory we're on. But anyway, so they think a lot of the life that may be up in the clouds there kind of escaped the surface of Venus and kind of went up into the clouds. Because in the upper atmosphere and certain levels of the atmosphere in Venus, said it's kind of favorable, like comfortable temperatures like you would even see here on Earth.
Yeah, the article was saying how there's specific zones of the atmosphere that are more temperate, meaning it's more mild temperatures where life could exist.
But then again, we're assuming that it needs to have temperatures that we need to have, which doesn't necessarily, you know, it may not be that, but we're going off what we know.
Right.
For life.
So let's talk about life for a second.
Let's talk about love, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
I haven't had enough White Claw for this. The two basic foundations for life are...
On Earth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are DNA or RNA some type of genetic material to pass your genes from one generation to the next? And the other is some mechanism of energy production in humans or in pretty much everything on Earth... That is a molecule called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And the reason I'm telling you it's triphosphate is because in DNA, the backbone of the DNA molecule also contains phosphate groups or phosphorus. It's a sugar phosphate backbone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything on Earth uses this phosphorus for ATP, for sugar, except for one bacteria. It's called a gamma proteobacteria. It uses arsenic, which if you're not familiar, arsenic is a metal and is extremely toxic. So how can
that's
this
fucked up?
How can this one bacteria basically abandon the use of phosphorus and replace it with arsenic? Clearly, even on Earth, there are organisms that break the rules. And if they can break the rules on Earth, why can't they break even more rules on different planets?
Listen, this is obviously, like they said, kind of at the edge of our expertise. There's so much out there that we don't know. We think we know everything, but we really know nothing. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know, I feel like. And this is just another one of those things where certain laws that we thought applied to everything and everyone and life everywhere are going to be broken and rebuilt and rewrote and... That's science, and I think a lot of people have a difficult time accepting that science is malleable and it's ever-changing. I think you see that reflected a lot in society today.
Yeah, and I don't really want to get too off course, but I do agree with Lauren that for people who might not be in the scientific field, I can understand why it would be difficult to understand the fact that science is not immutable, or that when we do change what we know, that it's not science not knowing what we're doing, but we're just learning more.
In the beginning episode, when I was talking about phosphine and how it was found on some Jovian planets, like gas planets like Jupiter and whatnot, because of really violent storms that happen there. They tried to simulate a violent storm or phenomenon on Venus, and they even in the simulation put in tectonic plates just to create, add something to the simulation that would create such force, right, that maybe phosphine would be produced. Got to keep in mind, Venus actually doesn't have tectonic plates that we know of, which I think is kind of weird and maybe hard to believe. Maybe we just, I don't know. But from what we know now, Venus doesn't have tectonic plates, so it was just part of a simulation. But even with that thrown in, it creates such a minute amount of phosphine that it wouldn't have been able to be detected from Earth. So they really are kind of like, we don't think it's from storms or a geological process. Maybe it's some new type of chemical process or a new element, right, of such that we don't know of, or maybe we don't have on Earth. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Well, first off, I do want to say that the amount of phosphine that was found in the Venus or Venetian atmosphere.
Venetian? And so fancy sounding.
Oh, yes. I feel like I should have some caviar. In the atmosphere of Venus, the amount of phosphine that was found, the phosphine levels that we found in Venus's atmosphere are lower than what is made by different bacteria and such on Earth. So that is also something to consider, but it could just be that there's less bacteria, and as a result, you get less phosphine. So, who knows?
I just wish they'd come show themselves already. I mean, is that what 2021 is going to bring? Aliens?
Well, so back in April, the Department of Defense released a statement about...
It was the Pentagon.
No, it was the Department of Defense. They released a statement about some Navy footage that was released about some unidentified flying objects. And to this day, they still were like, yeah, we don't know what these are.
It's actually a premonition as to what's to come. I fully believe that there's aliens out there. And I fully believe that there's ones that are more intelligent than us.
Ones that are more intelligent and have the ability to reach Earth.
I'm going to go with yes.
Think about that for a second. I'm going to give you a chance to edit your answer.
All right.
Wait. Let me present the scenario. You're ready to cave already.
But I know where some of my weak points in that are.
Let's just talk about the distance. Yes. Right? Even if they come from within our own galaxy, how far away is, say, Saturn? Where the dreadnought is located.
Let me pull up the Earth Science Reference Table and tell you in light years.
Well, that's exactly what my point's going to be. The point is, it's light years. Okay, light years. That means you're going to be traveling at the speed of light for some number of years. Do you already see the problem?
I thought you were going to let me defend it.
Go for it.
Okay. I understand to even go faster than that, to maybe cut down your travel time, the body, like a typical human body, would not be able to withstand that speed. And there's issues with that. But I don't know. Maybe they're not like us.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, consider all the radiation that exists in space. You would have to be unaffected by it.
What type of radiation are you talking about?
Strong radiation that'll fuck you up. I don't know specifically the type of wavelength that exists.
Them gamma rays.
There is space radiation, though, and that's
cosmic microwave background radiation. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but that's what they think is leftover radiation from the Big Bang. But that's stuff we pick up on, like radio waves.
Yes and no.
Not so radio waves, but
there's a shield around the Earth that protects us from cosmic radiation, and if you travel past a certain distance away from Earth, you will no longer be protected by this, like, shroud, and you will get the full brunt of this radiation.
Well, you know, these are things beyond my pay grade, baby. And I don't know, but, like, I've seen some weird stuff, too, like in the night sky.
Okay, wait. Now, this is, all jokes aside, we're done with jokes. What weird night sky things have you seen?
Well, I've told you about this. Like, as a kid, driving up to Canada in the middle of the night, and when you get to, like, New Hampshire-ish, you know, there's no lights. And so you could see, like, so many stars in the sky. And I just remember one time I saw this thing that was, like, moving in the sky. And it was so different from everything else I've ever seen moving. It was, like, bobbing up and down. like it was like a, you know, that toy with the paddle and the ball on the end of a string. It was kind of just like bobbing up and down. And then in like a split second, it was gone. It like whoop, totally gone. And I've seen shooting stars and I've seen other stuff. It wasn't anything like that. I know my brother has seen some stuff with him and his friend, and his friend's mom saw some weird stuff in the neighborhood years back. And then there was something in the paper about next day about a bunch of people like seeing sights of a strange object in the sky. I don't know. There's just some stuff that, and it's almost like ghosts and things like that. Like, I want to believe there's something else there. And to me, it's like a little egocentric to think that we're the only things, or we're the smartest things in this universe too, or that even the galaxy. Like, something's out there. Humans are dumb. We destroy ourselves all the time.
I know, but it's so fun.
So maybe there's a life form out there that hasn't really destroyed itself, and it's way smarter and way better and figured all this stuff out and how to travel that we haven't yet.
There is some alien race that arrives on Earth. What do you think? Like, how do you feel?
Terrified. Like they arrive and make contact with a government, I guess.
No, they don't know. They just fucking...
It's like an Independence Day?
No, let's say they're not aggressive, right? They come just to see, like, hey, we want to check in. Like, this is new for us too. We're scared. You're scared. Let's all chill. And maybe we can work something out.
I mean, I'd be so curious. I'd be shitting bricks, but I'd be so curious to be like, you know what? If this is how I go, this is how I go. What a way to go. Yeah.
Say what a way to go as if you'll be able to tell people, like, yeah, you won't believe how I went. You think yours was bad, huh? I got atomized.
No, it's a personal choice. Like, hey, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with a bang. My dad's convinced he was abducted. I gotta ask him about that again. Like, can you tell me the specifics of that? It's been a while since we had that conversation.
I don't know the story. So
he's pretty sure that when we went to Egypt, he was abducted and like something was implanted in him. And I was like, that's probably just the hashish you were smoking in the markets late at night. So, yeah.
What does he think was implanted in him?
Like a chip or something.
And where is it implanted?
I don't know.
I mean, hasn't he gotten any type of like CTs or like x-rays or something where a chip would be seen on some type of imaging?
I'm sure when he had the aortic dissection, I'm sure he had a CT scan. And nobody came out to us and was like, excuse me, do you guys know if he has been chipped before?
Did you guys accidentally take him to a veterinarian and get a microchip?
There's tons of people, especially in Alaska. There's a big population of people who have said they've seen things or felt like they've had this abduction of experience. And a lot of the experiences sound very similar.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Now, I am not here to discount or discredit anybody's experiences. You were there. I wasn't. So I'm not going to say what happened wasn't true. However, the question I'm going to pose to Lauren is everybody having the same experience because that's the truth behind it, that's what's really happening? Or is everyone having the same experiences because that's what we're told happens and what aliens do and what they look like?
Right. Yeah, I know. There's really no way for us to know for sure.
Are we just conditioned to be like, oh, this is what aliens do. They're going to abduct you with some bright light and they're going to probe you and they're, you know, and then they're going to release you naked into a farm and you're going to have no memories of...
I was thinking that like in a field.
That's what I'm saying. Are we conditioned to think like this is what happens?
Well, do you think that's something that... I mean, I would assume that that's something that Hollywood created, right? This idea of what happens during an alien abduction. But how did the first... You know, it makes me think like whoever decided that was how aliens abduct in Hollywood, how did he come up with that? Was he abducted?
I mean, look, there was a story that was told on a podcast that I listened to called Believing the Bizarre, where they tell the story of this guy from Brazil who was abducted. And very short version of the story, if you want to hear the full thing, definitely go check them out. He was a young farmer, he's like in his 20s, and he got abducted. They brought him into some almost like decontamination type room where he got like sprayed with some gas, and I think they rubbed jelly on him, and then they there was this alien that they had a big blonde wig on. What? the alien had a big blonde wig, and they had sex. And then he doesn't speak whatever language the aliens did, but she gestured that she was going to have his baby and raise it in the sky. And I swear to God, that's the real story. And he stuck with that story for the rest of his life.
Well, I guess blondes do have more fun. Get me a blonde wig.
Oh my God. So yeah, I mean, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. I wasn't there. I think this was like in the 70s or something.
Wild. I gotta look up that episode.
I mentioned the whole farm thing. Is it more abductions are happening in farms and areas like that because that's what most of America is? Like, if you're an alien and you're trying to be discreet, where are you gonna pull a person from? A dark farm in the middle of Iowa? Or out of a 34 apartment building in Manhattan, like who?
Imagine you're just going to throw out your trash, and you get zipped up, and your neighbor sees you being zipped up, like on the 14th floor, and you're like, "Hey, Bill, what the hell's going on?"
Damn it, Bill! I told you to stop stealing my New York Times. Like, that's how you actually catch your neighbor stealing. Like, you're being abducted and you see him go out
he's
and get it.
There, he's sitting there reading your New York Times. They'd be like, God, I freaking knew it.
If a New Yorker got abducted, that's the kind of thing that would they would, like, be thinking about.
And if they got returned, they would fucking square that shit away, too.
And that, yeah, that would be the first thing they did. They wouldn't go to, like, the police or talk to, like, a news outlet. They'd be like, I saw you reading my paper, Bill. I feel like we didn't talk a lot about natural selection and stuff, but we don't really know how different beings are going to react. I mean, consider the environment of Venus, right? It's the air, the pressure is 90 times heavier or stronger than what you'll experience on Earth. The temperature is 700 something degrees Fahrenheit. Like, it's extremely hot in harsh conditions. But then you go up into the atmosphere and it's like a paradise. And it's like, oh, maybe I'll take the kids and go vacation here. This is pretty nice. All it needs is a little swim-up bar.
But what if life adapted to those more harsher conditions? Who knows? I don't know. But life's up in the clouds. There's a lot to be determined.
Yes.
I think that's it for us today.
No, you don't get to do that. That's not for you to do. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for us today.
You bet.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and especially share it. It takes literal seconds to hit subscribe and click the 5-star review button, and it would mean a whole lot to us. Positive ratings and shares on social media are the biggest ways you can help us spread this good science to even more people. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at JustNastScience. You can also visit our website, JustNastScience.com, where you can watch YouTube videos, read blog posts, or submit questions and suggest topics for future episodes. We also have a Discord and a Facebook group. So go to our website, go to Twitter, you'll be able to find links to all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we'll see you there.
Don't forget, we put out new episodes every Tuesday. And as always, thanks again for listening.
Later, nerds.
Later, gators.